Hi, I'm Amit Sharma at the All In Food Studios of the Food Decisions Research Laboratory at Penn State's School of Hospitality Management. Welcome to this part from our studio facility in the Merritt Foundation building of the School of Hospitality Management. In this part, you will hear the recordings from two of my students who recorded these pods as part of their course assignment. In this particular part, you will hear from Julia Bocella on how including calorie information on menus can impact consumer choices. And you will also hear from Stella Choi on the health consequences of poor food choices and dietary guidelines and the recommendations from these guidelines. Enjoy.
Hi everyone, my name is Julia Bocella. I'm a fourth year student at Penn State University studying hospitality management. Today, I am joining the All In Foods podcast from Dr. Sharma's Food Decisions course. In this course, we learn all about the food system and consumer behavior through scientific papers and scholarly articles. After reading an article in class, I found it particularly interesting that menu design can affect consumer behavior. One aspect of the menu I plan on talking about today is the decision to include calorie information on a menu. Something a lot of people don't consider when they go out to eat is the nutritional content of the food they order. Most dine-in restaurants do not portray this information, so it is easy for us to forget about it. Have you ever found yourself out at a restaurant enlightened by something on the menu, only to have your excitement squashed by an astronomical calorie count? What did you do after seeing that number? Did the calorie count sway your decision, or did you continue with your initial craving? There are many contradicting opinions on if restaurants should have calorie counts next to the menu items. On one hand, it empowers customers with information, nudges restaurants toward healthier offerings, and potentially reduces obesity. On the other hand, many argue that the calorie number is a trigger for those suffering from eating disorders, and that putting calories on the menu puts a financial burden on restaurants that often change their menus based on seasonality. And although it has the potential for consumers to make healthier choices, many argue that it would not be enough to solve obesity. Let's take a look at a few articles I have found about the topic, in which I think you will find the results interesting. A teaser for today's topic: calorie information on a menu does and does not affect consumer behavior. According to the article about nutritional information on menus in Vietnam that we read in class, calories and nutrition information have been suggested as a cost-effective way to prevent obesity and other health epidemics. As many of us are aware, dine-in restaurants are known for serving large portions of high-calorie dishes. This leads many of us to overconsume when we are out to eat, and thus can lead to obesity. It is important for restaurants to know if they can make an impact on obesity rates by simply adding calorie information on their menus. The study of the article took 1,746 customers of food facilities and asked whether they think it is necessary to have calorie information on menus, and whether they prefer to have them as well. The results showed 59.8% understood its necessity, and 71.8% preferred that those calories numbers were on the menu. Furthermore, demographics played a role in their findings. Females and higher educated participants were more likely to say they understand the necessity and want the information available to them. On the other hand, they did find those who are frequent dine-in restaurant customers, males, and those with higher incomes did not prefer to have calorie information on their menu. The overall results of the study encouraged policymakers to enforce calorie information on menus to help consumers make informed and healthier choices. They also said to provide health education interventions to educate those demographics who did not see a need for calorie information. Take, for instance, my personal experience as an example of how consumers may be influenced by calorie information. I personally visit The Turning Point, a cozy brunch restaurant near home, pretty occasionally. Now, every time I've been there, the visit has been planned out a week in advance. I've gone there with my friends a couple of times, and I usually take my grandmother there when I'm home from school. During that entire week leading up to it, my mind dances around with anticipation, thinking about their famous cinnamon bun pancakes. I mean, these pancakes are delicious. A stack of three fluffy pancakes with sweet cinnamon swirls and cream cheese frosting, drizzled over each pancake. So all week long, I cannot wait to take a bite of these pancakes, until I sit down in the restaurant and actually open the menu. Every single time I open the menu and look for the cinnamon bun pancakes, my eyes go right to the number of calories the pancakes are. 1,290 calories for three pancakes. No matter how much I thought about eating those cinnamon bun pancakes that week, I always end up changing my mind. I end up choosing a more reasonable option, usually an egg skillet that's only about 500 calories. Now, I personally have never been one to track my calories. I am aware that I should probably eat around 2,000 calories a day, but I've never been someone to weigh out portion sizes or use apps like MyFitnessPal to track how much I'm eating throughout the day. So, I was curious to know if menu nutritional information can influence someone like me, what impact does it have to a larger customer base? I thought for sure if I could be affected, so could many others. I found an interesting article on New York City that was a study was done on calorie labeling, and it revealed conflicting results from my initial hypothesis. In the article, "Will Calorie Labeling in Restaurants Make a Difference?" a study looked at receipts of customers to see whether the new law in New York of presenting calorie counts on menus had an effect on customer choices. When NYU researchers asked New York City customers if calorie labeling affected the choices they made, only 27.7% said their choices were influenced, and out of that percentage, 88% of those customers said they purchased fewer calories because of it. But what's even more interesting, however, is that the receipts said otherwise. The researchers found New York City customers purchased about the same amount of calories before and after the labeling law took effect in the city. So even if respondents thought they were changing their choices, the receipts proved they were not. In the same article, however, there was a contradicting study done at Stanford University. The study looked at Starbucks sales in particular in the city of New York, Boston, and Philadelphia to see if New York's calorie labeling law had any impact on the amount of calories consumed. Researchers found that mandatory calorie postings in New York caused average calories of consumers to drop 6% compared to calorie consumers in Boston and Philadelphia, where the mandate of calorie count was not present on menus. A third article mentions the same study done by Stanford and challenges it. This article is called "Diners Turn Blind Eye to Calorie Counts. In states with nutrition information on menu, people do not alter eating." The researchers of this article claim this particular Starbucks study was an outlier. They believe there is a decrease in calorie count in New York City Starbucks because Starbucks consumers are more sensitive to their nutritional information. They claim the calorie count at Cheesecake Factories or McDonald's would not be different, and here's why. People still believe that going out to eat is a treat, so they're willing to overspend and overconsume because it's on occasion. According to nutritionists, eating out used to convey a sort of permission to consume too much food. Today, eating out is part of our regular diet, with more than one-third of total calories consumed at restaurants. Another nutritionist says, people still think it's a treat to go out for a meal. People naturally eat bigger portions when someone else does the cooking. But it's not a treat to eat out. It's a very regular part of our diet now. I find my roommates and I guilty of this multiple times a week. Every time we go out to eat, we spend money on multiple appetizers, drinks, entrees, and desserts. Our excuse every time is we don't do this often. I also find us making new reasons to go out to eat. If someone does well on an exam or someone else nails a job interview, our first reaction is to celebrate by going out for a meal and splurging on what we eat. In reality, we eat out multiple times a week because we continue coming up with excuses for a well-deserved treat. So the point this next article is trying to get across is that when people consider eating out as a treat or reward, they're not going to be concerned with calorie count on the menu because they assume that they don't do it all the time. In an interview with a customer at Cheesecake Factory, he explained, "Yeah, I saw them. I guess I'll have to work out or something later, or maybe I'll cheat a little today." Researchers found that evidence is showing calorie labels do not drive people to choose lower calorie foods. While many nutritionists thought the issue of not having the right information was the reason for obesity and health issues, experts say it's actually lack of control. Consumers don't care about the calories because when eating out, they look for immediate gains and delayed costs. For example, eating out allows them to eat right away, while the cost of health issues is something that's a problem for another day. Interestingly enough, the study found one 52-year-old male who cared about his calorie labeling on menus and tried to stay under a certain calorie count. However, his wife explained he only started caring after he had a heart attack. It was interesting to see how he cared about his health and overconsumption only after he experienced heart issues. This is a prime example of consumers delaying the cost of their food choices. So although I assume more people were mindful when calories were presented, most of the results I found said otherwise. The decision to include calorie information involves consideration about personal health, but also dives into the social perceptions of dining out as either a special occasion or a regular part of our diet. As we navigate this conversation, it is important to recognize the diverse perspectives surrounding this issue and to continue exploring how we can make informed choices about food. As we wrap up this podcast, I encourage our listeners to reflect on their own dining habits and consider how the availability of calorie information might influence their choices. Thank you for joining me today on Dr. Sharma's All in Food podcast. I'm so happy to have talked to our listeners, and I hope I encouraged you to reconsider some of your choices when consuming food away from home. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you next time.
Food gives energy. Really? It makes you sleepy and food coma, right? It's not because it's your nap time. It's because of your blood pressure. And sleeping right after consuming food can actually lead you to gain weight. And you can alleviate these by consuming apple cider vinegar. Hello everyone, my name is Stella Choi, and I am a student at Penn State studying hospitality management and economics. And in this podcast, I'm going to talk about the effectiveness of apple cider vinegar. My first approach to ACV, which is apple cider vinegar, happened in a rather unexpected but fascinating way, thanks to wonders of YouTube. It's funny how the internet's random algorithms can sometimes lead us in intriguing paths, isn't it? I randomly came across a video about ACV, and now it keeps appearing in my online feeds due to algorithms. It feels like fate brought ACV into my life. It is interesting how social media can be a platform for positive discoveries. Who knew that a simple click could lead to exploring something potentially beneficial? After watching those YouTube videos, I couldn't resist the curiosity that was sparked within me. So I decided to give apple cider vinegar a try. The thought of adding it to my daily habits felt cool, though somewhat anxiety-inducing. I never expected the profound effect it would have on my sense of taste. Buying on ACV turned out to be easier than I thought. It was easily available in various stores, making it accessible to anyone interested in giving it a shot. The price points may vary across different brands, but generally speaking, it's affordable, costing around $5 per bottle. However, the initial experience of tasting pure apple cider vinegar was nothing short of unforgettable. I can still remember that first sip. It was during one of those mornings when I had no appetite and decided to try it on an empty stomach. And let me tell you, it wasn't the most pleasant of experiences. It was a stark shock to my taste buds, and in that moment, I truly felt like I was drinking straight vinegar. I suddenly thought that I would rather have vodka instead. Looking back, when I first tried the ACV, it was really bad. But every story begins with something, difficulties or challenges, right? After that, I was more careful of consuming ACV in my daily routine. It's funny how just watching a video on YouTube led me to discover something new and tasty.
Ever since the first taste of ACV, I haven't had it again even once. But something strange happened. The videos and pictures about these things kept showing up on my YouTube and Instagram, even though I didn't search for them. It was like a computer program was making me see them on purpose. This made me really curious, so I started watching more videos and reading about it. I even looked at research and reviews from people. I started to have a huge interest in this special drink, and it made me want to learn even more about it. Because I was so curious, I decided to see if this could actually make a difference in my body. In my family, many people have high blood pressure. This made me worried that I'm also having a higher percentage of having health problems related to it. But I still didn't like the idea of drinking liquid apple cider vinegar. But I still didn't like the idea of drinking liquid apple cider vinegar. That's when I began seeking alternatives. Luckily, I found some pills that you can take instead of the liquid version. They are easy to find in stores. They might be a bit more expensive, but they are great for people like me who don't like the taste of vinegar. Additionally, if someone has trouble swallowing pills, they can choose to take a gummies instead. So, whether you like pills or gummies better, there is an option that works for everyone, including those who don't like the taste of vinegar. I have a feeling that by now, you might be curious about apple cider vinegar, right? Let me delve a bit deeper into what ACV is about. So, ACV is essentially a type of vinegar that's crafted from fermented apple juice. The process starts by crushing apples to extract their liquid essence. This extracted liquid then undergoes a transformation. We add yeast and bacteria to help turn the sugars in apple into alcohol. But wait, there's more to the story. Something magical happens next. Special bacteria called acetic acid forming bacteria come into play and do something amazing. They change the alcohol even more, turning it into special acetic acid. This acid is what makes vinegar taste tangy and special. So basically, apple cider vinegar is made by starting with apple juice, turning it into alcohol, and then changing it into acetic acid to give it its unique flavor. Now, let's talk about advantages of consuming ACV. There is something interesting evidence that suggests apple cider vinegar might be able to help people who have trouble with insulin or have diabetes. When you eat food, your body sends extra blood to your stomach to help digest it. This can make your heartbeat faster and your blood vessels get bigger, which can temporarily raise your body pressures. Foods with lots of salts or sugar can make your blood sugar go up quickly, and your body releases insulin to bring it back down. Sometimes, this can make your blood vessels get smaller, which can also raise your blood pressure temporarily. Normally, these changes in blood pressures go away after a few hours once your body finishes digesting. But for people who already have high blood pressures or heart problems, these changes could be more serious. Have you ever felt really tired after eating a big meal? That can happen because our blood sugar goes up really fast after we eat. Usually, the tiredness goes away as our body digests the foods. But if we eat too much all the time or feel tired after eating a lot, it can cause problems for our health in the long run. Eating too much at the same time can make us gain weight, have tummy problems, and increase our chances of getting sick with things like obesity, diabetes, and heart problems. Moreover, some studies suggest that vinegar, specifically apple cider vinegar, can help keep our hearts healthy. Our genes play a big role in our heart health,
but eating healthier foods can also make a difference. In tests with animals, apple cider vinegar seems to lower some things in our blood that can be bad for our hearts, like cholesterol and triglyceride. But it's important to know that these tests haven't been done on people yet, so we can't say for sure if it worked the same way for us. We need more research to know for sure. So, if you want to try using apple cider vinegar for your heart, it's always a good idea to talk to your doctor first. Next, actually, my biggest interest. ACV can help you control your weight in a good way. Some studies have shown that consuming apple cider vinegar might help people manage their weight. One reason for this is that ACV can make you feel full, so you might eat less during meals. In one study that lasted for 3 months, people who drank ACV every day ended up with less fat around their stomachs and weighed less overall. These results were even better when people also ate better foods and took care of their bodies. But let's be honest, ACV isn't some magical solution for losing weight. You still have to put in efforts and make healthy choices. Think of ACV as an extra tool that can help you on your journey to being healthier. It is fascinating how ACV might help you feel less hungry and stop you from eating too much. But it's important to remember that just using ACV alone won't make you healthy. You need to also eat a variety of healthy foods and stay active. ACV can be helpful, but it's not a magic solution. You have to work hard and stay committed to being healthy. So, while ACV might be helpful addition to your routine, it's essential to keep realistic expectations and focus on the bigger picture of overall health. It's important to know that getting healthier and losing weight involves many different things. Apple cider vinegar is just one small part of the whole picture, but it might be really helpful. Now, let's talk about how to eat apple cider vinegar in a way that tastes good and is good for you. The best way to use apple cider vinegar is to mix 1 or 2 tablespoons with a big glass of water. It is important to dilute it because it can be tough on your teeth and throat if you use it straight. But don't worry, you can make it taste better by adding a little bit of honey or lemon juice. Some people even mix with apple cider vinegar into tea or other drinks to hide the taste but still get the good effects. If you don't like the taste of apple cider vinegar, you can take it in a different way. There are pills, gummies, and capsules that have apple cider vinegars in them. These are for people who don't like liquid vinegar. But make sure to take the amount that it is recommended on the bottle. No matter how you choose to have ACV, it is important to start with a little bit and slowly have more if it makes you feel good. This helps your body get used to vinegar without any surprise. And remember, it's best to not have too much ACV because it can cause problems and might not be safe if you're taking certain medicines or have certain health problems. To put it simple, if you want to use ACV in your drinks or take it as a pill, it is important to start slowly and pay attention to how your body reacts. The idea is to get the good effects of ACV without feeling uncomfortable or having any unexpected problems. Before closing, let me share my personal experience and reviews. I have been taking ACV pills every day for more than a month now. I take 2 pills a day, 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. I always take them either 20 minutes before or after I eat my meals. I have a family history of high blood pressures and I used to feel tired after eating meals. I also have had problems with my stomach since I was little, like having a sensitive stomach and digestive problems. But ever since I started drinking apple cider vinegar, my body has been feeling much, much better. My digestive systems and stomach problems work better, and I don't feel so tired after eating. ACV also helps me not feel as hungry. Although it may not happen quickly, something good is happening inside my body. And remember, feeling good on inside of your body is just as important as looking good on the outside, right? I'm surprised by how this small change in what I do every day has made me feel so much better. It's like a secret superhero inside me that making my life better in small but important ways. If you found any of these information interesting, I think you should try apple cider vinegar. It has really helped me feel better and improve my digestion. But remember, what works for me might not work the same for you. It is always exciting to try new things for our health, so if you're curious, give it a try. Here's us to being healthy and finding what works best for you. Cheers!
Thanks to Julia and Stella for their insightful recordings. And thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this part, please share it with two or more people who you think will benefit from listening to it. As always, make safe and informed food choices. Above all, please stay healthy and cheerful. Until next time, from the All In Foods studio, this is Amit Sharma. Thank you for listening.